So we've been doing a message on, this is part two. So part one was last week on angels, and so you're coming into the second half if you missed last week. I always like to start with some kind of humor, and it's very hard to find any angel humor. So I used it all up last week. But I will pick on someone. Which man? I know I want to pick on a man. Roger? I'll pick on you, Roger. All right. So, a woman passes away. She goes up to the pearly gates. There's an angel there that lets people enter and out of heaven. And so the angel says, before I can let you into heaven, you have to pass a simple test. Spell the word love. And so this woman went L-O-V-E. And the angel says, you did it. You're into heaven. And so, she goes into heaven. She's very happy. And years, two, 3 years passes by. One day she's walking by the gates and the angel says, I got to fly and do some errands for the Lord. But someone needs to kind of give the test and guard the gate, letting people in or out. Do you think you could do that for me? And the woman said, look, no problem. I'll stand guard here while you're away. So the angel took off. And after a short while, surprisingly, her husband came up to the gate. And I mean, they're both surprised. Like, I didn't expect you would be coming today. And the husband said, well, I didn't expect to be here today. And she said, so what's new? And the husband went, well, I wound up marrying the nurse that I hired to take care of you before you parted. And we've been enjoying the life insurance policy that you took out on yourself. We've been traveling the world, buying homes and cars and really partying and having a lot of fun. And in fact, I was water skiing when the ski must have knocked me on the head. And well, here I am. And she said, well, there's only a simple test you have to do. Roger, you ready? to get into heaven. All you have to do is spell Czechoslovakian. So, all right. So let's review. This is from last week. So angels help us in time of need. I went over how the angels helped Elijah and the angels after Jesus was tempted by the devil. The angels ministered to Jesus. And Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, an angel came and strengthened him so he could pray more earnestly. And so just as the angels helped the Son of God, who is their creator, angels are often sent to help us in our time of need. And then we talked about guardian angels in Matthew 18:10. It says, do you not know that the face of the angels of God always see the face of God in heaven, the guardian angels of children. And I talked about how from Matthew and from Job, it looks like we all have a guardian angel. And in Ezekiel and Daniel, nations have guardian angels. In Revelation, churches have guardian angels. And I didn't mention last week that some believe that Satan also assigns an evil angel to each one of us. But that's another sermon, another day. Angels want us to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It looks like during the church age that the angels are not allowed to share the good news. Jesus did not die for the angels. But the angels want to encourage all of us, share the good news of Jesus. And then angels are allowed to set up divine appointments. So they like to bring together a Christian with a believer with an unbeliever so that the believer can share the good news. So they set up divine appointments. So that was all last week. This week, let's talk about some more things that angels do. Angels help us in finding the right spouse. So here's an interesting one. Genesis 24. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. So how many single people here? Raise your hand. How many married people here? All right. How many people didn't raise your hand because you're not single or married? Raise your hand. Okay. So we got a few here. How many of the people that are married, you have a marriage made in heaven? All the men, because the wives are saying, you better raise your hand. Okay. So This is interesting. Abraham wants to get a wife for his son Isaac. And so the Lord speaks to Abraham, and the Lord says, I'm going to help you find a good wife for your son. So I will send an angel before you to guide your servant. Abraham's living in the promised land, and Abraham's going to send his servant back to his homeland, and Abraham's going to tell the servant, an angel is going to guide you to the right woman who is going should be my wife for my son. So Genesis 24, verse 6, Abraham's talking to his servant. Make sure that you do not take my son back there. Abraham said, the Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me an oath, saying, to your offspring I will give this land, the land of Israel. He will send his, what? His angel before you, so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there. Now, this is interesting. It's like the Lord has got the right woman, the right wife for Isaac, but he can't violate our free will. So God, the angel, will lead the servant to the right woman, which is Rebecca, but Rebecca still will have a free will. If she says no, it's like God says, I don't have anyone else. I don't have potential number two. So here's the right person. So the servant goes, and the angel leads him to Rebecca, and then the servant shares the same story in verse 39. Then I asked he's sharing his testimony with Rebecca's parents. Then I asked my master, what if the woman will not come back with me? He replied, the Lord before whom I have walked will send his angel with you and make your journey a success so that you can get a wife for my son from my own clan and from my father's family. Then when you go to my clan, you will be released from my oath, even if they refuse to give her to you. You will be released from my oath. So in the Bible, it's the job of dads especially, but I think of all parents, to find the right spouse for your children, to be concerned that your children marry the right person. Like I was thinking with my wife and I that there were like three significant things that we think about with our kids, three different important events that occur in their life. We're very concerned that our kids come to the Lord. We're concerned about their calling in life, for their occupation, their calling. And the third one is who they marry. I can't think of anything more significant than the person that they marry. And that's why in the Bible, it's the job of the fathers to like give their daughters away in marriage. So my two son-in-laws, in fact, here's my son-in-law, Matt, came to me and said, can I have the hand of your daughter in marriage? Because it's fathers are concerned. We want our daughters to marry the right person. So Matt loved the Lord, and I said, okay, you're the one that I'm sensing God has called. And so I give my daughter into your hands. So I'm thinking, if us as parents, if we're concerned about who our children marry, then the Heavenly Father, he has a heart as a father. And so he uses his angels to set up divine appointments to have marriages that are, in a sense, made in heaven. It says in Hebrews 1:14, are not all God's angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? And I happen to believe that God says, it's very important that you marry, that you find that one person. For Isaac, God had one person, Rebecca. He didn't have a second one. He said, it's Rebecca. She is the match for Isaac. Even though they live far apart, even though they, you know, have to travel miles and miles, I'm going to send an angel to lead you to the right person. And I happen to believe that. Even with my wife and I, I'm just amazed what God set up to connect us together and so to have a marriage made in heaven. I know, I put Cupid up here. This is a Roman god. But I thought to myself, and of course you know Cupid goes and strikes love into people, but I thought to myself, there is an inkling of truth that God uses angels to do matchmaking to help us to find the spouse that God has for us. All right, number two, angels help us in keeping us from sin. So come to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. So in Numbers 22 is the story of Balaam. And Balaam is what we call him a prophet for hire. He has a spiritual gift from the Lord to prophesy, but he will sell his gift even to the enemies of God. And so he uses what God has given him for wrong purposes, for money. So the Moabites, who are enemies of Israel, hire Balaam to come and prophesy and to curse Israel. So Balaam is getting on his vehicle, his donkey, and he's ready to go curse the Israelites. So chapter 22, verse 21. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. But God was very angry when he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, she turned off the road into a field. Well, of course, the donkey, it's interesting that perhaps animals can see angels, but people cannot unless God allows the angel to be revealed. Three times the angel stands in the road to stop Balaam. Down in verse 31, or go to verse 31. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you, because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If she had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared her." So it's interesting that God sends an angel to stop Balaam, and I like the term here, from taking a reckless path. The angel was opposing Balaam from taking a reckless path in his life. And I can't help but to think, and there are things that I did in my life in the past, before I was a Christian and even after I was a Christian, and I'm even too embarrassed to tell you, maybe after I know you 15 years, maybe I'll tell you then, but right now I'd be too embarrassed to tell you. But there have been times in my life that I chose a reckless path. I knew it was not what God wanted. And in my stubbornness, I was choosing a reckless path. And I just praise God that, I mean, I can't say I saw an angel, but God brought things happened in my life to stop me from the reckless path that I was choosing. And it's kind of like scary to think how perhaps there was an angel with a sword to cut me down if the Lord hadn't like blocked the path with the angel. Talking about striking down with the sword, so this is just a picture of the angel with the sword stopping the donkey. Angels are used to deliver warning and to dispense judgments on people. Come to 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings chapter 19. And let me show you an example of how angels can deliver God's judgment upon people. 2 Kings 19. So the Assyrian army, who was wicked and went around killing city after city, they've surrounded Jerusalem and King Hezekiah, and he's praying to the Lord. And the Lord is going to deliver Israel from the Assyrian army. And so in 2 Kings 19, verse 35, That night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. Now, you realize that, like in the Iraq, Afghanistan war, I mean, over many, many years, we probably lost 10,000 soldiers, 10,000 men and women. But can you imagine in one night, 185,000 men put to death? In the Thessalonian letters, the angels are described as so very powerful. One angel, one of God's angels in one night put 185,000 people to death. Come to Acts chapter 12. We're done in the Old Testament. Come to Acts chapter 12 and let's look at King Herod. King Herod was not a very good king. He's the one that helped put Jesus on the cross. He was vicious and rotten. Acts chapter 12, starting in verse 21. Acts chapter 12, verse 21. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not of a man." And immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. It's so interesting. You know, we know from Scripture, God puts those in power that he wants in power. And even though King Herod was rotten, God never put him to death. And I'm sure Herod must have thought, I'm probably not a good person. But this one time, Herod's on the throne and everyone's, "This is God." And Herod goes, "That's right. You know what? I am God. Oh, I finally discovered the truth. I am God." And when Herod finally, that's like the line in the sand. When Herod finally like took it and said, "Yes, I am God." God said, "Angel, do him in. He's done." 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10 is just another. We already went over this one about a month ago, but just to remind you, 1 Corinthians 10, 10. "And do not," it says, the Apostle Paul, to the church, "and do not grumble as some of them did and were killed," what? "By the destroying angel." Okay? So God gets, I told you, God doesn't like grumbling. And when people grumble a lot, God sends his angels, take care of them. Take them out. Take them out, you know. Come, all right. Angels come to take us to heaven. Luke chapter 16. So God uses angels to bring judgment on people. Luke 16, verse 19. Jesus is sharing the story about Lazarus and the rich man. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. So here's kind of how the story goes. "There was a rich man dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day of his life. At his gate laid a beggar named Lazarus, longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when Lazarus died, and the angels came and carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man, too, he died and was buried. And in hell," well, I'll stop there. But I want you to notice that it was the angels who came and carried Lazarus to Abraham's side. Now, I have this old book that you cannot, I don't even lend it out. It's an old book written like 100 years ago. It's called the Testimonies of saints and sinners when they die. It's the last words. It's just hundreds of stories of saints and sinners on their deathbeds. And it's just amazing, like with the saints. I cannot tell you how many hundreds of stories. In fact, in the first two services, I already had people sharing with me stories of how people that are believers, how they see loved ones and how they see angels. And just amazing stories, how angels come to take our souls and spirits to the Lord's side. So while I was researching, I was going to share with you, there's so many stories. I was going to share with you stories about angels taking loved ones to Jesus. But that led in my search on the internet to what's called near-death experiences. They call them NDEs. Near-death experiences. These are people that kind of like have died and have an after-death experience. Over 18 million Americans have had a near-death experience, and it's grown because of the advancements of medical science. Many people that have died are brought back to life, okay? So just curious, has anyone here had a near-death experience? Okay, I had some in the other services. Anyone? The people that have near-death experiences, you tell me. Tell me what's some of the things that people say when they come back. They saw a bright light. Okay, and what else goes with the bright light? A long tunnel. A long tunnel. Okay, and what else do you think people have reported? What did you say? Very peaceful. I'm going to share with you now something interesting. This guy, and let's see, I got his name here. Kevin Williams did a study of atheists who had near-death experiences. Now, this is like really amazing to me. So these are people who said like their whole lives, some of them were their whole lives, never believed in God. Said there wasn't a God, not interested, didn't even think about God. But all these atheists had these near-death experiences. And so here's a percentage. I thought this was so interesting. 75% of the atheists said they experienced this amazing love, that they were enveloped with love, okay, the feeling of love. That's kind of where this peace, love. 100% of the atheists said they experienced a life review. Now, do you know what a life review is? That's where they say that they saw their whole life. Now, it's not literally their whole life, but they said they saw all the significant events that occurred in their life and the decisions, whether right or wrong, that they had made through their past. You with me? What's interesting is the Christians, a lot of Christians, did not have a life review. But 100% of the atheists said they had a life review. So it's kind of like God was, you know what? They need a life review. They need to see what, you know, the decisions that they have made. I need to wake them up. 75% of them saw God. 50% of them saw Jesus. 50% of them saw hell. 100%, almost 100% of them said, now I wish I could tell you they all became Christians. They did not. Although almost 100% of them said their lives were dramatically changed from that point on. And almost all of them said they now believed in God. So I just found it fascinating. All right, come to Matthew. Chapter 24. I think God, he's using medical science, I guess, to give people a second chance. Matthew 24. So God sends his angels to gather us. Let's see, I got to go back one here. So Matthew 24, verse 30. Now, this is probably the second coming of Jesus. However, I happen to believe that this verse is true, whether it's the second coming of Jesus or the rapture. Okay? So Matthew 24, verse 30. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. So I just think, wow, at some point will be the coming of Jesus, and he will send his angels. His angels will go out, and they will gather. They will go to all those that have given their heart to Jesus, and they all of the elect will be gathered together to be with the Lord. Come to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. All right, angels separate the righteous from the wicked. Matthew 13, and that's a bunch of fish. Okay. Matthew 13, verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." Jesus gave this parable of weeds. He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man." Who's the Son of Man? Jesus. So he sows the good seed. "The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom." The good seed stands for those who have given their heart to Jesus. "The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are" who? "Are angels. As the weeds," verse 40, "are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom." And I want you to notice two things that they're going to weed. Everything that causes sin, those are weed one, and all who do evil, weed two. "They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." I have to point out something to you. So at the end of the age, Jesus sends the angels and says, "Weed," okay? And the two things they weed is they weed people who do not give their heart to Jesus, who are on the reckless path of life. But he also weeds out those things that cause people to sin. So I know I'm probably getting myself into trouble. So those are things that cause people to sin. So I don't know. I picture the angels throwing out all the bars. Okay? These aren't going to go into, you know, the new kingdom. Pornography. It's going to be the ultimate virus killer. Okay? The angels are going to... Pornography is always amazing to me because I always wonder why the women of the world, why the women of the United States don't stand up for themselves and say, "This is disgusting how you treat us. And this should be totally against the law. And we have enough votes to pass this out. And anyone who does this to us and degrades us like this, we're going to throw them into jail." And it would take care of the whole issue, but whatever. The angels are going to throw all the pornography into hell. They're going to throw some cookies into hell as well. I don't know if you saw just this last week. Did you see the young college student who ate a marijuana cookie in Colorado? Did you read that? So in Colorado, if you don't like smoking, they put marijuana into cookies. And one cookie gives you twice the high of like being drunk, okay? And I have no idea what a marijuana cookie tastes like. But all I know is this college student was in college to be an engineer, don't think ever used drugs or whatever. He was given a cookie, one cookie. He ate the cookie and then started going crazy on high. His roommates tried to calm him down, and then he went to the balcony and jumped off flying 11 floors high to his death. And these cookies are legal in Colorado to buy. I'm like, where are we going? So the angels, those cookies, chocolate chip cookies are okay, but the angels are going to weed out weed. And one of the weeds is the weed of marijuana. So, I need to close. And I do want to close with a challenge again. that, you know, it's appointed unto men and women to someday meet their maker. And I don't know if you're ready, if all of you are ready, because the coming of Jesus is so soon. It's like watching the news. I tell my wife all the time, I don't know why I watch the news. It's like so depressing how we are literally destroying ourselves. We're destroying this planet and we're destroying one another. It's like, wow, Jesus cannot be far from coming when he is going to send his angels to gather the elect. And I just praise the Lord that, you know, when you give your heart to Jesus, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit testifies to your spirit that you belong to God, that you've become a son or a daughter of God. If you do not have that testimony, if you do not know that you belong to the Lord, then you need to give your heart to Jesus. Because once you give your heart to Jesus and Jesus really comes into your life, you know you belong to him. So there may be someone here this morning that you don't have that testimony that God is speaking to your spirit saying, you belong to me. You're not sure. You're like, man, I hope I make it to heaven. I'm not quite sure I'm going to make it. Listen up. First of all, you can't make it to heaven on your own anyway. You get to heaven because Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross, was buried, rose again on the third day that God the Father accepted his sacrifice for that, our payment. But just like the servant couldn't make Rebekah come back to be Isaac's wife, you have a free will. You get to choose whether you want to accept the free gift of eternal life. And all you have to do is put your faith in Jesus Christ. You just have to ask him into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. So if you're here this morning and you're not sure, or you've never given your heart to Jesus, I'm going to pray a prayer out loud, and I want to invite you to pray along with me. So let's bow our heads, close our eyes, no one looking, Christians praying. But if you're here this morning, the Bible says that soon there will be the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ, those who have already died but are believers, they will rise first. And then after that, those of us who are still alive will be caught up with them in the clouds. And so we'll be with the Lord forever. Jesus is soon going to send his angels to gather the elect. And I would sure hate for anyone to be left behind when that day comes. So if you're here this morning, I want to pray a prayer out loud, invite you to pray along with me silently, and you can have assurance that you belong to Jesus and he's going to gather you. He'll send his angels to take you to be with him, whether it's the day of your death or when he comes back. I'll pray out loud, you pray silently. Lord Jesus, I confess I am not worthy to be under the roof of God in heaven, to be in God's mansions. But I thank you that though I'm a sinner, Christ paid for my sins that I deserve to pay for. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross in my place. I open the door of my heart. I repent. As Megan said, I repent of living my life without you, and I want to live for you this day forward. Come into my heart and my soul this morning, right now. Save my soul. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I always like to keep those who prayed that prayer in my prayers. Those of you that prayed that prayer along with me, that you gave your heart to Jesus, I want you to just slip up your hand, and then after I see you, put your hand down and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer to give my heart to the Lord. Just slip your hand up right now, and then after I see you, can put it down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? I want to join these three. Anyone else? God bless you. Thank you, sister. Four. Anyone else? Don't want to miss anyone. Father, we just thank you for these four that have given their heart to you. May they sense your presence in their life. May they be bold to tell their family and friends that they're going to follow Jesus. And may they have that inner testimony that they now belong to you, that they've been born into God's family. And close us out, Lord, with this song of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.